I'm Nora Princiotti. It's time for three stories you should know. This week, we're going to talk about the president, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and an RV. I'm joined by SB Nation's Tyler Tynes. Hey, Tyler.
What's up?
And by ESPN's Don Van Natta Jr. Hello, Don.
Hello, Nora.
Tyler, we're going to go to you first.
So basically, obviously the talk of the town has been that on CNN, LeBron James was sitting down for an interview with a new school that he was opening, and Don Lemon asked him if he would ever sit down with the president. He also asked him a variety of questions about the presidency, about how sports is a unifying factor, and so many other things. And it wasn't the best messaging from LeBron James because he sort of jumbled at least his understanding of how sports are with the actual actuality of the unification powers of sports. But that started another news cycle between the president while he attacks black athletes, to which he was saying that Don Lemon is stupid and that LeBron James is stupid and he prefers Michael Jordan. This is a thing that we're going to constantly see until Donald Trump is not president.
Yeah, clearly President Trump sees this as a winning issue. Two players took a knee Thursday night in a preseason game. They were both Miami Dolphins. And yet Friday morning, Trump tweeted out twice about this issue. And before long, I think the president's tweets may outnumber the number of kneeling players. He told Jerry Jones last year, this issue lifts me. This is a culture war issue for him, a losing issue for the NFL. Trump is now in a position where this gets traction with his base, and he's going to continue to try to provoke players to continue to take a knee and undercut the NFL.
So I think the parallel with the anthem issue, and it's almost ironic that I call it the anthem issue, is a good one because there is a jumbling of messaging in both cases. Because the thing about the anthem issue is that it took on this idea that it's strictly about the national anthem, which it never really was to begin with. It was about players protesting racial inequality and police brutality against minorities. And it struck me that there's kind of a similar sand trap in this debate with LeBron, potentially by design on the part of the president, which is that it's so easy to point out the good works that LeBron has done that a lot of people rushed to his defense by listing them. And in some ways, that's kind of beside the point because LeBron's support of his community really shouldn't be up for debate. And putting it up for debate kind of loses the important point here, which is that the president seems unable to tolerate black athletes who have success and are comfortable exercising their strength and their own personal agency.
I just think the point here is not to jumble so many of these different factors. It's great that LeBron James opened a school, but that by itself has to be unpacked and repurposed, and we need to make sure that's all good. At the same time, when the president attacks black athletes, it's improper to think that we shouldn't have the conversations. Black people are being disproportionately murdered by police. We're still unequal to white people at almost every single level of this country. And other people of color are going through the exact same thing by different measures and standards. And so the reality of the situation for us is that these are not conversations for us. This is life or death for us. It doesn't matter if the president is going to respond to every player that is kneeling or protesting because it is expected at this point because it's policy for him. The difference has to be that we actually dig into the nuances of why they are still kneeling years later. Is it because Colin Kaepernick has a job? Absolutely. But it's specifically for the reason that people are still being murdered. That's going to always be the prevailing issue for the people that are actually affected. This lackadaisical approach to not addressing what the president says or being fed up by what the president says, that's great for white people only, but it's not great for the people who are actually affected by what's going on.
So Don, I'm going to turn things over to you and insist that you make a speech now.
Well, Terrell Owens skipped the Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony last weekend. The wide receiver's gold jacket was flown down to him in Chattanooga, Tennessee, where he hosted a ceremony on the University of Tennessee campus. T.O. got into the hall on the third ballot, but he felt, and many others agreed, that he should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer and that the voters considered non-football factors like his character to keep him out the first 2 years. Owens was the first inductee to skip the weekend of festivities in Canton, Ohio, and this made the Hall of Fame brass very angry. So now, according to ProFootballTalk.com, the Hall of Fame is considering a requirement that all Hall candidates submit a written promise to attend the enshrinement ceremony before they're even officially voted in. I ask you guys, how dumb is this? You don't need to show up to collect an Oscar, a Grammy, an Emmy, a Pulitzer Prize, a Congressional Medal of Honor, or even a Purple Heart. Bob Dylan famously blew off the Nobel Prize, folks. And now we have the Hall of Fame proposing to basically codify this new intangible. You have to pledge to come to our party or you can't get into the hall.
Well, all the coolest parties are the ones that you have to attend, right?
That's right. Yes.
Tyler, I'm curious to hear what you think first.
I mean, this is dumb, right? Like, this is dumb. And the thing about how dumb it is that it's an NFL-specific, a football-specific type of dumb. Everything that's ingrained into the culture formatting of football within America is mostly dumb. And so, of course, the football's truest fans, a lot of them are going to be like, of course, you people should be forced to show up for an award we barely want to give you. Okay, dog, that's cool, right? So let's put that on the side. On the other side of this is that the Hall actually believes what they're doing isn't the most ludicrous thing ever. Terrell Owens is one of the most disrespected athletes we've seen across sports in the last maybe 20 years or so. He has some actual real gripes with the way that he has been treated, the people who are actually treating him this way, and the majority of white writers who have been writing about him as if he's subhuman, because that's exactly what we think of football to begin with, and the players and the proceeds there. And so if that's always been the case, this should absolutely make sense from the system of football that's always been this ultra-conservative vehicle of kind of crap, right? We know it's dumb. They know it's dumb. But it'll probably still pass and still be dumb.
I agree with you. I think it is dumb. You know, I was surprised that they sort of didn't have the self-awareness to not do this and put that idea in a box to never be spoken of again.
Yeah, Nora, it was another opportunity that was seized quickly to make an example of Tio. Now, I know the NFL and Pro Football Hall of Fame are technically separate entities, but the board of the hall is made up of plenty of NFL-connected folks. And it's just another example of the NFL creating a stupid controversy. And not coincidentally, in fact, there's an African-American athlete who's outspoken at the center of the controversy.
I hope you guys are both sitting down for this one, because my name is Nora Princiati, and I believe in the 2018 Cleveland Browns.
You don't believe that. You know you don't.
So I would say that I'm on the bandwagon, but that is the wrong vehicular metaphor to use. I believe in the Browns for one reason, and it is because of an RV. The Browns quarterbacks, so that's Baker Mayfield, Tyrod Taylor, Drew Stanton, and Brogan Roback, are sharing an RV as a sort of clubhouse during training camp. It is for quarterbacks only. Mayfield was in charge of procuring the RV before camp, and Roback, as the guy who's last on the depth chart, fluffs the pillows and he stocks the fridge with healthy snacks recommended by the team nutritionist. His idea of Pop-Tarts was turned down. So that tells me that Cleveland's got a well-rested, well-fed group at the most important position on the field. And I think, what more could you ask for? Now, you might say receiver help, but I'm choosing not to think about that right now. Besides, Mayfield looked great in the first preseason game, and we all know how much that means. So, Tyler, are you joining what I'm calling the RV-lution?
No. No one gets excited for the Browns or Cleveland. The only thing exciting in Cleveland the last few years is LeBron. So, Browns bandwagon's definitely not happening for me, but, you know, it's a cute RV, y'all. Enjoy that.
Don't give me that sass about my RV. You know, the one thing I will say, and without drawing, you know, a little bit too much out of this RV thing, is that there are situations in which you combine a number one overall pick and a veteran like Taylor who would really like an opportunity, and they don't want to spend time in confined spaces together. So you could, if you really wanted to stretch this out, which I obviously do, you could make some sort of argument for the leadership qualities of Taylor being at least willing and perhaps eager to spend time with Mayfield, bond. But mostly I just think the RV is fun and I like it.
I like the RV too. A writer on Twitter last week said that the RV is more luxurious than her apartment. Quarterbacks are royalty. We all know that. They sign the biggest contracts for the most guaranteed money, and now they get the best RVs, even if you're wearing a Cleveland Browns jersey.
But I'm not getting excited for the Browns, Nora. I'm not getting excited for the Browns.
You know what? We're going to talk in January, and
when they haven't won 7 games?
If they win 6 games, I'm calling it all because of the RV. And that is my final statement. My guests for this week's edition of 3 Stories You Should Know have been SB Nation's Tyler Tynes. Thank you, Tyler.
Yep.
And ESPN's Don Van Natta Jr. Thank you, Don.
Thanks, Nora.